So, this is from a sefer called Mishchas Shemen. The person put it out is a person named Rechaim Shmuel Kaufman. That was actually, he was not alive anymore, but his children put it out. He was Rosh Hashiva in Gateshead. He's Rav Solomon, Rav Matos Yo Solomon's brother-in-law. So, good family, yeah. Well. Pesel Yo Falk's brother-in-law. Right. You know. But, so he has an all five promotion. Somebody gifted me the Parsha Sefer Shmos. Here's a beautiful piece over here. Let's see what we can do with it. So the Pasuk says that the Malach HaYishadayim L'chol HaMalachov HaHoseris. The Pasuk describes that Moshe Rabbeinu makes this announcement that we're building the Mishkan, and people started bringing their contributions to the Mishkan. But HaMalacha, which Rashi explains, means not the Malacha of the work of building the Mishkan, but the Malacha of the work, quote-unquote, of contributing, the process of contributing, was HaYishadayim L'chol HaMalacha, was sufficient for all of the work which we've done in the Mishkan. So the word Malacha in this Pasuk has two meanings. First Malach is referring to the Rashi says Malachos Hayvor, the Malach of bringing the process of bringing the donations. The donations were sufficient for all of the work which was going to be done. There was enough materials now to build everything you had to build for Hoseir and to leave over. That's a simple reading of the pasuk. So that's the pasuk. So the simple shot in the pasuk is. Pasuk teaches and it says, and Moshe made an announcement. People shouldn't make the Pasuk before says Moshe made an announcement that people should stop putting together donations. Whatever you put together, you want to come and bring, fine, but no more preparing donations. And the Pasuk says, and the conclusion was, we have enough for everything and behosir. May Mashem Melosh and Akosim. Second paragraph. So they brought more than was needed. So the simple understanding would be, so they built everything they had to build, and there's hoiser, and there's materials left over. So there was X amount of gold left over. They built everything they had to build, and there's extra gold. There's extra silver, etc. So what do they do with the extras? Pirshat Torah al Torah. So the Baal HaTurim wrote a Pirshat Chumash. So he wrote in the Chumash that's printed what's called the Baal HaTurim. That's he also wrote a Pirshat Torah al Torah. Pirshat Torah is more like the other Mishnah explaining things, etc. Baal HaTurim is more like finding hints and Muslim based on matches the words and etc. But there's also a sefer called Pirshat Torah. Pirshat Torah says, "Kasher lachot to sevus el lachazik is benegabayis alasas mehem klisharis." So they kept these in the preparedness if they needed to fix anything, or they made klisharis out of them. Avakam b'forshim l'nicha l'ubakach. Ki yarei kolbani so he's not roshava b'shava l'havi nidvas libam lech l'chadish. Everybody's desire to give was equal. One person's desire to give was not greater than the others. So here we're going to have this unfair reality that 1,000 of us desire to give, and 900 of us were actually used, and 100 of us were like, when we need you, we'll call you, right? So Madul lo yisku anoshim elu shi yishtamshu b'kaspon lasas mihem avodas mishkan atzav kimoish yisof ha'chareim. So why shouldn't they be incorporated into the Mishkan? So the simple reading of this leaves something out. Achemar Achemar Kaddish Ma'aral Etzem Yisoid Lomer Shinishu Mechaloke Me'atumas Shalahutzu L'Milocha. He's uncomfortable with this idea. Ma'ak Shalma Shalosh Al-Kasim Nemer B'locha Ha'isadayim V'ha'isir. kim hoysadayim ain't a hoyser, in hoyser ain't a daim. So the melacha was sufficient. When I say that sentence, I stop there. That means the melacha means all the preparations of preparing and bringing items was the right amount. Or the melacha hoyser, the melacha was more than enough. But daim a hoyser is a funny lashon. Mishum kein pirish b'ayvan b'chudish. So Chaim says a unique approach. Shabemis okay hibu but he saw kamas gadol harbi yosim mashut zukol malach. Chayso brought more than needed. El shakan ishmiyanu akasa kibus but he saw many amokim baruchu. Ashkosh baruchu loves chayso. Kilasach shibiyo yisrael yosim mishir atzarach lemalach. Even though Klai Yisrael brought more than needed, which shows Klai Yisrael's desire to give. Chash HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'kabar anashim shatarchu v'viyu v'kol ha'shel lehem b'kassim v'mizol. Rosham didn't want anybody to feel, as it were, slighted by not using their nedavos. V'chavit shel nigrim lehem chalishas hadas agmas hebes. Rosham did not want them to be disappointed. V'chal zeh, Shina Kadosh Baruch Hu midarach ha'teva, v'nasa neis shekol ha'muva beis Hashem nichlas melechas ha'mishkan, everything was used in the primary kelim. You could build a mechira for less. The kelim ended up using more. How does that work? It's a nace. Kol chavetzim yigiyo l'day shimush papayel. Everything brought was used, the mice. So Shira Kosev. So according to him, how would you read the pasuk? That which Hashem commanded to do, to create the Mishkan. He speaks they were able to take all of the preparedness that Klai Yisrael had generated, all of the donation that Klai Yisrael generated, was everything was able to fit into the Mishkan. Even though it was more than necessary. So it was absorbed in anyway.
So why do we ever stop them from bringing?
So Moshe Rabbeinu, interesting, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't stop them from bringing, he stopped them from preparing more. Whatever everybody has made their efforts. The women have made these woven goat's hair cloth, whatever you may bring, etc. But the process of moving on to the next stage is starting, so we're done. So it comes out a fascinating thing, he says. So taking this into how to live our lives. There's a lesson. The Rosh had a chiba for Klai Yisrael's efforts. So that's important understanding in general. The Rosh has a chiba for Klai Yisrael's efforts. People welcome Shana Roya Eich Shabadosa Osas Apri. So here we had this worldly manifestation of the Bereshit's attitude towards Klai Yisrael's efforts. That it seemed to be, well, it did not accomplish anything, and the Bereshit made it accomplish something. Theoretically, the person, I tried to give, but we couldn't use it. The Bereshit says, no. Whatever you try to give, I will find a way to use. So that's this worldly presentation of the Bereshit's attitude towards Klai Yisrael's avodah. So now, behind the scenes, I'm trying X, Y, and Z, and it does not seem to be working. You have no idea how much it's actually accomplishing in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the greater cosmic reality. But we don't see that. But the reality is, it is accomplishing tremendously. That whatever I'm doing is not necessary. It's as it were, quote unquote extra thing. It means it's the basic has been done, and this doesn't add anything. It's going to be wasted and thrown out. Al yeda shekadosh baruch hu choshev l'kavod kol pieces yigia l'chokartav shel mamatz. Every handful of work, every kartav is a kartav is a measure of volume, which is the smallest measure that Chazal had. L'kol miskavod l'fana benachas ruach. Okay, so one step of it says, but the Aruch HaKadosh is introducing when a person has a pure intent to give the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though seemingly the results are ineffective, that's not true. In the Mishkan, the Rezach could see it in a this worldly manifestation, whereas elsewhere, that's not true, but the reality is it's absorbed.
What's a case of when we do that?
What's
an example of something that we do in the Avodas Hashem that we don't?
So a person is trying to grow in learning. He sees he's trying. He doesn't seem that he's getting better in his learning. He's putting tremendous effort in, but he doesn't see growth. A person is working on his trying to create a shalom bayis issue between two parties, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's two friends, etc. And he's trying. He doesn't see that they're making shalom. But he's honestly doing his real due diligence. He's doing it in an intelligent way. It's not stopped. You're making stupid effort that person says, I'm not responsible for a stupid effort. Right? But he's doing intelligent effort. Just doesn't seem to be working. That person says, I'm a cheshbon, why it's working, not going to work. That doesn't mean that your effort didn't count. So now, but he wants to take this idea in a different angle, a different direction a little bit. So this, just before I go to that, this issue of this paragraph of attempt, and not seeing results is a very challenging area in Avodas Hashem. In a certain sense, there's an extra quality to that. If I live in a world where every time I do effort, I get results, of course I'm motivated to do effort. Right. So it's not a statement of how much it's dear to me, the effort. It's, I like the results. But a person comes saying, if Avodas Hashem is important to me, I'm willing to put it whatever it takes. Because that's what I feel good about what I accomplished. There is an element of a slight element of the self-serving feeling of accomplishment. But I see no accomplishment, and I'm still putting in the effort. That's a tremendous statement of love for Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, we spoke last week about the piece that Rabbi Eisenman talked about. He calls it the Adonim, the Adonim attitude of the person was trying to learn and learn and learn and learn, but he wasn't absorbing. He kept trying to learn because he just wants to absorb whether he's getting it or not. He just kept trying. That person has schar shemayim, which you have no idea what that means. The guy who's brilliant and he sits down learning, it's like really fun. In this world, he's obviously, quote unquote, way ahead of the other guy. There's a saying, I'm not sure who coined it, and his commercial does not count dapim, he counts shows. It doesn't count the amount of the daf gemara you learn, he counts the hours that you put in, the effort you put in. And because we're one of dapim, Ella shows. It doesn't count the dapim. If you're a brilliant guy, you might have half a shas in 10 hours, it's very nice. But that's just because comes naturally to him. So the person has to really try and keep at it, work at it, he gets more scar. And that's what an ultimatum, Ryan Chizuk Zeb, Miparshas a Karbonis. This idea, we can really pick it up from elsewhere as well. Shemar Chazal Gemorim Menachas, all at the end of Menachas. Remember, Shem Ben Azai. Or a maxim of parshas karbonos. Remember, shor hagas ishei reich techach. The Torah describes being makar of a korban shor, And the scribe said it's Isay Rech Nechayach. Bo'ef Adak, this large, very large animal, and this very small bird. Isay Rech Nechayach. The Mincha says Isay Rech Nechayach. But it's not even a live thing, it's flour. It's even less valuable. The Torah uses the same language of the Bereshim's Nachas Ruach. The Bereshim gets derives pleasure out of what happened, using the same language for the person being this big fat cow, or bull, better, big fat bull, a little bird, or some flour. The sunflower is not so small, but that's...
What?
It's an isorin of flowers, the smallest mincha. The isorin is a shir chal. So 5 pounds of flowers. Right. Some flour.
Right.
Okay. So Ben Azi says in that, it teaches us the following lesson. Lama l'cha echar amar b'mechar amamit b'lat shecha ben eslibu l'shemayim. So what does that mean? Hainu. Shehishu Kadosh Baruch Hu es a korban shel ha'osher ha'mashalim al shoroi hoin rab. The korban shel oni ha'mashalim al oifoi oi min chasa pruto es muatis. Bereshim sees in his eyes the value of the rich person who can afford a shor and pays a large sum of money for that shor. Or a person who's oni pays a small sum of money for his bird or for his mincha. In Bereshim's eyes, their actions are equal. What's the difference is how sincere you are about your desire to give. Now, a person who has the wherewithal to give more and chooses not to because it's cheapskate, so that the slave is missing. But a person who cannot do more, that's all they can do. In the Kosh Baruch's eyes, that's just as valuable, just as precious, the person who gave a very large tzedakah. So this person who's very impoverished and all he can afford is some flour, and he brings that korban, that's just as dear to Kadosh Baruch Hu, creates the same nachas ruach. Kadosh Baruch Hu was a person who brings this very chashuv animal. That you could call Ish Yisrael, Chizuk Mal Yishol Lizalza, Vashum Pula, Taiba Shoysa, Lavata Believa, Shum Maisa, Taiba Tarzimitsis, El Harak, Kal Mamats, Haracha Mitis, Lashiva, Shiva, Sisarik, and Roy, Lachemit, your career. The same way, in our minds, so individual X has pledged a donation of $1 million to the Moisa. That's really kosher. I can't afford $1 million to the Moisa. I can afford $100 to the Moisa. So I look at he's giving me, I'll give him 100. That's just nowhere near as kosher. Because from his eyes, those two numbers are exactly the same value. So the same way I understand that the nadav of $1 million is kosher, I understand my nadav of $100 is also kosher. You get a really depressed, and it was like, oh, vice versa, $1 million is not important either, because $1 million is garnished. And that's also garnished, because for him that's easy, you know. That's not the point, right? He's saying, just if you think about it, the Russian doesn't need our money. The Russian Russian does not have to make people poor. He could have given every single person what they need. So the worst is that Tunis Rufus of Russia asked the Rekiva this question. He spoke about this. And he says, so the Bereshim says, my goal is just that you should get a schus in it. So whatever role you're able to play, and you play it, you become a giver, like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this person can give $5, this person can give $50, this person can give $5,000. So each one gives according to their ability, they are functioning as a giver. So Let's talk about an example. They're making a collection for a family which is in a very, it's teetering on a difficult financial situation, and dire financial circumstances, and we're making a collection to try and shore up the family, or a woman who just lost her husband, and there's leftover woman with orphans, and we're collecting money for this Karen, create this fund. Mataris Akamas Karen, Hilagayas Chum Gadol Moed. The goal of this making this fund is to literally recruit, means to get pledges and get donations for a large sum of money. Shia boy kareh la'azal mishpacha l'tzeis mismach chaveser v'la'azal yisamim b'kamas beisam b'vayayam. You want to be able to establish a large enough of a Karen that you not just address their problem right now, but you've given them a foundation which they can build on. So you can invest some of the money, and down the road, they don't have their father to be able to provide for them, they'll have a source of income. That's the goal. So our goal is, $500,000. You come to me and say, listen, buddy, like, my $10 is not going to be my little murder, right? I can't afford larger than that, let's say whatever the number is. I'm willing to give that, I'm very happy to give that, but I can't give you more than that. Like, why are you wasting your time with me? Go find somebody who can give you more. So people say, I'm not getting any close to your goal. So if you work out the ratio of your goal, you work out the percentage point, the fraction that I am, 1/50,000 of your goal. So you now move 150,000 closer to your goal. That's a ridiculous reality. So go to the big rich people. Leave us out of it. Don't waste your time coming to us. That's added to a lot of people. This is incorrect. A person who can only afford $10 and gives $10, in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, has accomplished the same thing as a person who gives $50,000. Who can afford to give $50,000? It's the exact same value. So you're looking at this worldly view of it. Listen, this is the goal is a large sum of money. What I'm giving you is a tipa min hayam. It's just a drop in a whole ocean. Because Paul doesn't look like that. So this person gave to this Karen what he could afford, what he's able to do. Or he stretched himself a little bit for that. That's extraordinary. It'd be nice if he had more. He doesn't have more. So this is for him. It's a full act of the Siyan Brashim will give it the tremendous value, just as equal to something else. Money adds up. Your contribution is part of the larger reality. Smaller or larger, it is part of the reality that you come to. Furthermore, the whole thought process is vis-a-vis the Gabbai, it may be, it's one thing. But the vis-a-vis Kadosh Baruch Hu was ridiculous. Russia said, I don't need your money. I'm giving you an opportunity to contribute. And you should use your opportunity to contribute. Well, I gave you an opportunity to contribute because for you that's all available. And for him, I gave an opportunity for more. Ki erez a pasha l'mdei Hashem yizorach ein shum nafki mina bein ha'osher ha'tarim asoris ofin delorim le'ish pasha t'tarim kama delorim b'edelim. He gives a little bit, he gives a lot, no difference. Rav l'fi emes, v'shuma, shuma z'onim, and he tenis b'leib shalom, nevesh chavetza har yosim, v'shuma z'osher, tenis b'kfiyah b'leib kovet. And if the onim gives willingly, which many times they do, that's more valuable than the person who gives a larger sum, which is only under duress and frustration, etc. What?
Why is that always the case? Like, time and time again, people say that the people that are neim are the ones that give easier.
Now, it's an interesting thing. You know, multiple touches would tell me they go to Lakewood. So there's Yungle Light, who with himself firm, don't have a lot of money. They give nicely, you know, according to their, you know, they can afford. So the guy can give me $20, $25, $50. That's more than he can afford. He can't afford to give me $50. He'll give that. And you go to people which are more wealthy, and they also get $50. Like, you know, it doesn't make sense based on ability. They should be giving more. So why is that? So I think there's a few reasons. First of all, the shirim are much more pestered than the aniyim. And after a while, that emotionally, that's a very big challenge. It's a real nisoyan. Like one person said, he said, for a person very well, he says, I have no perm. I want to send perm to my family. I want to celebrate. And the whole day, there's people just waiting. There's a line of people waiting outside the door for nisoyan. Or cut the free yeshivas, like every yeshiva in the world, like to send, you know, bachim around in Purim to collect. There's over 100 yeshivas in Lakewood now.
100 yeshivas?
Yeah. High schools, you know.
Wow.
So, that takes time. You know, you sit there, you either give out cash, or you have a bag of cash and give out cash, you know, what some people do. Or you write checks. I mean, you know, you want to spend time with your family. It's emotionally very challenging. So Baruch Hashem, he's happy he's in the position to be a giver, not a taker. Right? But after a while, it wears you down. That's one. Two, there's a famous maaseh with Rabbi Yochanan Maizel. Rabbi Yochanan Maizel was the Rebbe of Lodz. And besides being a tremendous Talmud Chacham, the man was a tremendous Pekach. There's stories that the police force would sometimes, you know, come to discuss cases with him because he could cop, you know, he copped human psychology. So there was a very wealthy person there in the city of Lodz, which he wanted the person to donate X amount of wood for the winter, for the need. They should have wood to burn in their homes. So he goes and knocks on the, you know, he's wearing his, it's very winter time already, it's very cold, it's Polish winter. Knocks on the door wearing his, you know, warm coat. And the gevir opens the door wearing his house jacket. And he invites Rabbi Chaim, no, that's fine, I'll stay out here. He starts talking to him about this and that other thing, you know. And it's, the guy's freezing, it's freezing cold. He says, why is the Rav here? He says, I wanted to ask you to donate the wood for the Neim. He says, well, why don't you just come inside? He says, I want you to feel what it feels like. You know, it's cold. You sit in your nice warm study, you know, and you say, yeah, I'll give X amount. He says, understand what it means to these people. This is what their houses feel like right now. Now, how much do you want to give? It's a different ball game. I always had this, like, it was fascinating psychology of human beings. Like, you know, it says the person, there's a saying in Yiddish, the person who's hungry doesn't feel the person who's starving. Right now I feel I'm not hungry. I forgot what it feels like to be starving. So I don't understand the emotion. I do, but I'm not feeling it right now. In my days, it tells, before the world of cell phones, so there was phone booths, right? Good old phone booths. So in the yeshiva, the phone booths, there was in the dorm, there were X amount of phone booths. But, you know, Erev Shabbos, like, you have, like, you need to make a phone call, and there's 200 guys, which are all calling home for Shabbos. So besides the phone booths in the dorm, there were two other phone booths on campus, outside phone booths. you know, the good old outside drummers.
Right.
So one time I called somebody, and it was the middle of the Cleveland winter. It was freezing cold. The guy's going on and on and on. He's sitting at home in his nice warm house. I told him I'm calling from the phone booth. He knows that I'm outside. So I'm up from, oh, I'm from the phone next to me. There's no phones in the Shiva building. Outside the Shiva building, there was a phone booth. So if you need to leave base center to go make a phone call, there was a phone booth nearby. But it's outside. There's no insulation. Right? It's open on the bottom. Even the wind comes in, you know. And it's a Cleveland winter. It's freezing cold, you know. And I told the guy, I'm calling for the phone booth. And he's going, oh, no, no, no. It's like, you know, like. And it hit me like, he's not in the mode of thinking about cold right now because he's not sitting, he's not living cold. So I come to this person and say, you know, I have no way to marry my daughter off. He says, I get that, you know, so I'll give as much as I can. The other guy says, I don't have a problem with that. I just made three costas, you know. Didn't make a dent in me, you know, like, so he doesn't relate to it the same way. So there's some. There are definitely some socioeconomic explanations for the concept, and yeah, you know, I'm not judging anybody in that regard. Then he says it's not only mitzvah. Can you say mamish yesh lomer al kol chelik mechel kevod? Commission the gale limits his limit of Torah. Is Moshe hazoichem the Shabbos barulah shel Torah b'roim shosayim. We chol sigam mesicham musa rakal the ritter. The people zoichem to spend their day in the world of Torah. But the Russian says, so the Steinberg says a fascinating thing. We've seen a phenomenon that your people which are not learning. They're working, and they're spending an hour a day learning. Let's say an hour, 2 days, whatever, two hours a day, whatever the number is, and they're tremendously successful in that. The people who are in Carlow are spending many more hours the day learning, and they're not as successful. So I once heard Rebson Barkin. Dover Barkin's was Rebbele Meir Bloch lost a mishpacha in the war. He remarried in America. And he had a son and a daughter. So Rebbele Barkin is Rebbele Meir's daughter. So her husband alive anymore. She's a very, very chashuva woman. So she went to me. She said, "It's possible." She was talking to a group of women. The Steiner said to the father in Cheshbon, "He said the Chazal seem to tell me my mizvah. If you leave me for a day, I'll leave you for a day." So a person who takes a day off from learning, so he walked away from Torah for a day, but the Torah walked away from him for a day, so he's now 2 days away from Torah. He says it works in hours also. If you're Oiz of Miyashua, I'm Oiz of Yerushua. So it's time to say like this. A Shia Bacher can learn 12 hours a day. How so? So the person sleeps 8 hours a night. Okay, so now he's down to 16 hours. 2 hours a day he spends between Shachar, Mincha, Maariv, benching, etc. All of that, so he's down to 14 hours. Then 2 hours a day, a person eats something, a person rests a little bit, they take a walk, etc. You still have 12 hours a day to learn. Let's say the Baruch only learns 8 hours. So he was always in the Torah for 4 hours. The Torah was him for 4 hours. So he learned for 8 hours and he lost 8 hours. So he ends up with zero at the end of the day. Sum total. Let's say Balabas only has an hour a day to learn. He learns the hour. So he has an hour of learning. So the value of that hour is much greater than the guy who learned 8. Because he could have learned 14. He could have learned 12. Yeah. That's what she said. That's scary. For the Balabas, it's a great shikl, but for me, like, what the... They don't have a lot of time. My 1 hour a day, it doesn't compare to this guy's 10 hours a day, so what am I accomplishing? L'chapas alatzlusim v'isapusim. It's just an excuse to cover over their laziness. Kinevrim hema mehilisamitz k'sas v'dibritar. Shachayva mutelas aleim l'lumah k'fiyah chaltim. Ima atim harbe. K'lech l'fim shura delay. Kamasim wetzis eno shum siba l'zibir satar l'gam. I once, if I recall correctly, I saw it in the Sefer Tzunus HaMusar. Tzunus HaMusar was written by a person named Rav Dov Katz. And he basically, it was a 5-volume set. And he gave over from the biography and the different Ashkafas and Shitas and Torah of the various different leaders of the Musar movement. So you have Ursul Slavter and Alton McCallum and Rizal Blaser, Natalie Amsterdam, all of these people were. So, I think it's where I saw it. I'm not 100% sure. I think it's where I saw it. He said in Kelm, there was a 5-minute Seder Limud before Musaf on Shabbos day. 5 minutes. And there was a 5-minute learning Seder. Motzei Shabbos after Maariv. Says, why 5 minutes? To give you a chashivus of 5 minutes of learning. 5 minutes of learning, 5 minutes of learning. Right? It's garnished. So they made a seder to teach you that. So my ha'ara on that story was the following. I had a chaver learning Gateshead. And one time he commented to me, like, you know, Gateshead in the winter, sunrise is so late and sunset is so early that your Shabbos day looks the following. You daven Shachas Musav, you eat the Sunni, you daven Milch, you eat the Sunni, you daven Maariv. Because so far north, and it's a very short day.
Oh, wow.
So if you look on the map, Kelm is on the same latitude as Gateshead. So there was time for 5 minutes later during Shabbos day. That's all he had time for, but that's what they did. And Motzei Shabbos in the summer.
A lot of time.
Motzei Shabbos in the summer, sunset is like who knows when. It's the time you have Maariv, Motzei Shabbos. There's no time to learn. 5 minutes. I was beside a kedusha by a chassid and Gateshead. It was in June. So English weddings are very interesting. It was the middle of the week. I would say it was a Tuesday, if I recall correctly. So there's like a real major call spot, but the call was called for 11:30. And the couple was called for 12.
An editor in the day.
Day. Oh, then there was a reception after the chuppah. Then there was a break, and then there was a suda at 5 o'clock. And the suda, I left the suda at 11.
At night,
and they were still going.
Wow.
I was like, I'm not. So we got Maariv at 11:15 at night. It was still light outside.
Wow.
The sun had set, but it was still light out. So once the Shabbos, you don't do malacha once the Shabbos, because it never gets fully dark. So when do you know when is it considered that the night has ended and the day is starting? When it starts getting lighter, it gets darker, and then it gets lighter. So that point in time, you know it's already alois. So they don't make abdullah once the Shabbos, because you don't make abdullah with an air till after it's finished. But once it's aloysia, I'll drink wine. There are grape juice. So they make abdullah on Sunday morning.
Wait, but you can't make a wine?
So. You can make a wine before, but you can't do the nair till it's about alayla. The night's over already. The day is over. Well, the day isn't over until it stops getting dark. That's when it's touching the light, it's ready to lose a shachar. Y'all drink wine. So I was like, oh, yay! So I'm picturing, like, you know, like, then I stayed overnight Wednesday night, I stayed for Shabbos. And then after the Shabbat, we drove back to London. I got into London like 3 o'clock, three something in the morning. It was light out already. Like
3 o'clock in the morning, it's light out.
It's like 3:30 in the morning. It's like light out because it's already getting light. Mm-hmm. So what's the Shabbat? You got time for 5 minutes later. But the 5 minutes later is valuable. Whatever the amount you can accomplish in 5 minutes, but the point is, the Russian, if that's what you have available and you use it, that's valuable. So we shouldn't disparage that. Say, it's not worth it, what am I accomplishing? So that's his point over here. Like, the Russian says, whatever effort you're putting in is dear to me. Whether it's a lot, whether it's a little. As long as it's not, you're not wimping out from what you could do, it's valuable. It's an accomplishment. Then he continues along these lines, one more paragraph. A certain sentence was that, you know, what's going on over here? What's the last by note of this? Russian doesn't need our actions, doesn't need our results. We say the brush of everything's from you, and it was given from your hand. We give back to you. So you're not giving you something. I need money for the Mishkan. Really? So, like, Russia's the ultimate government. You can print money. Right? So make money. You need gold? So take gold out of the ground and put it there. Like, she says, I don't need gold. I have plenty of gold. I need you to get the schools to give gold. It's beneficial for us. So therefore, as long as we're doing the rest of Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's beneficial for us. What are you accomplishing? Who's some accomplishment over here? Accomplishment means it's not like the person needs us to accomplish. The person knows, I don't need you. I need Tamil Chacham, I can make Tamil Chacham on my mind. I need you to put your effort into Liman Atar. Okay, let's hold it here.